talking about the sure mercies of David. And then out in our area, got a little thing going again. Had a fellow down one of the local churches. He's a John Wayne impersonator. He called himself an evangelist. But he stirred the people up in some of the Baptist churches around there. And he's talking about how that this country's going downhill because they're not paying any attention to Jerusalem or Israel. They're kind of letting their defense down. They're not looking after them like they ought to. Certainly there's a lot of confusion in this area. And I begin to think once again upon the Old Testament and the New Testament, upon the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And I would tell you once again that men were saved by the same grace in both eras. Wasn't any difference. One difference between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New was in under the Old Covenant, the Israelite people were dealt with by God as a nation. A nation. Now, out of that nation, a remnant was called. Only a remnant. Yeah. But out of that one nation. Now, the difference in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is that under the Old Covenant, they had that covenant upon tablets of stone, and it was put away in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was carried about, and it was set forth as the holiness of God, but yet they carried it in their hands and not in their heart. I'm talking about Israel as a whole. Under the New Covenant, it's different. Under the New Covenant, man would carry that same covenant in his heart and not in his hand. Now, another difference is, under the Old Covenant, God was dealing with the nation of Israel. Under the New Covenant, God is dealing with the nation of Israel also, but it's not that nation. It's a heavenly nation that he's dealing with. The Apostle Paul called it a mystery. And that's what it still is. And I'm hearing these rumblings coming more and more here lately about this worry over national Israel. I tell you what you better be looking for. Not that old nation Israel that's there now, but that one that's heavenly, one that is coming, it's being added unto daily. We'd call it the church, that Israel. But there's much confusion in this. just like it is between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, because they don't know who this covenant applies to. Jacob. But the sure mercies of David was going to, under the new covenant, was going to be sure. This Israel, this new, there wasn't going to be one soul lost. Under the old covenant, God dealt with the old nation of Israel, and he brought on them many things. And then he'd lift them up. And then he'd bring something else on them, wars and famines. And then he'd lift them up. And he'd go, and they'd keep rebelling. And they'd keep turning to their own righteousness. But not in this new one. Not under this new covenant. This Israel is going to be whole. It's going to be one. And not one soul will be lost in this new Israel. You understand, God led them out of Egypt. Well, what did they do? They got out there and went to murmuring and complaining. Said, oh, wish you'd left us over there. And with many of them, God was not well pleased. But under this new covenant, God is going to be very pleased with everyone, because God is building this Israel. My goodness, I don't know why it's so hard to be understood. But it's still a mystery. Go with me to the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. This will be pretty evident as we go through this morning. A couple of weeks ago, when we met, I went to the book of Ezekiel that Sunday, and I don't remember exactly why, but it's a companion scripture to this 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. You might sometime want to go read that again. But I'd like to begin here in the 22nd verse. He said, how long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O inhabitants of justice, and mountains of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen. And they shall go forth with flocks. For I have saturated the very soul, and have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awakened, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. These good things, isn't it? This is going to be that new one. This is going to be that new covenant. Going to be that new Israel. That's what he's talking about. Behold, the day is come, and saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it will come to pass that, like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord, this seed. You understand, he's talking about the seed and all those that come after. And he said, and in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. See, he was still dealing with that house, but they wouldn't have it. Wasn't going to have it. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. It's what I was talking about earlier. Before they was carrying that covenant about in that ark in their hand. And they was kind of trying to keep the law by their own power, trying to establish a new righteousness. That wasn't the picture that ark and that covenant and that tabernacle and all the furnishings, that wasn't the picture that it was to have. It was to have that perfect picture of the Lord himself and all of his work. And I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon of stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. It looked pretty sure, doesn't it? It hadn't happened yet. He said, Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, we've been trying to. And the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they that have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hamael unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill of Gered, and shall compass about to Gorath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies, and the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, up unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east. This is the circle of the whole thing. Shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. This is that new covenant that he's speaking about. It's everlasting. It's of a surety. You can get a hold of that, and you can get your hands on it. And you can hold on to it where you are. It's sure thing. sure mercies of David, the same grace under the old covenant is under the new covenant. The only difference is God is going to save all of Israel. Go to some really familiar scriptures, Hebrews 8 chapter. Reading in verse 8, we might ought to read the whole thing. Look at verse 2. He said, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. See, under the old covenant, man pitched the tent. And he tried to worship there. But he couldn't do it. Because he tried to do it of his own hand. Verse 8, he said, for finding fault with him, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind. And I'll write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they'll be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, all Israel, all Israel, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. In their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Me no more. Not that one. Mm-mm. No, we have the sure mercies of David under this new covenant. Oh, it's much better. Why? We have that priest that has entered in to the Holy of Holies. Not that one made with hands, but into that one that's above. To the very right hand of God, where he reigns. Go on down in the ninth chapter. We could read a whole lot here, but we'll skip over some. In the 11th verse, he said, but Christ, being come high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not that one that is pitched in the wilderness, but that one is pitched in the free land. He said, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, which is Israel. Go back with me now to Romans 11, chapter. I'll get there in a minute. Verse 25. He said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now we're there. And so, all Israel shall be saved under this new covenant. He said, "As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as according as concerning the gospel they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, this new Israel." All this confusion over what Israel is Israel is something. All this confusion over how men were saved under the old covenant, you understand, it's still a mystery to most people. It's a mystery. They don't know they were saved by grace through faith. Somehow they think that the old covenant had some kind of power in it, and it did. It condemned them that were under that covenant. And it condemns those yet. Do you understand that the law has not been removed, but it has been confirmed? That same law that spoke, that was the schoolmaster unto those that were saved under that old covenant, is the same schoolmaster that teaches men today of their unworthiness and causes them to call upon the name of the Lord. But under the new covenant, he said, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And they're not all of Israel that are Israel. There's a remnant that come from under the old covenant. Right. There's a remnant today that comes out of every nation and tongue in this world. Right. But when God calls this Israel, it'll be complete. There won't be any turning back to Egypt. They'll be delivered in their entirety, and it'll be one body, which today is our church.
One of the problems that exists today is confusion over backsliding. We were in a little place called Bato on the island of Leyte, and the question arose there about backsliding in conjunction, of course, with, well, can you fall from grace? Well, if you can backslide, their reasoning was that then that's falling from grace. Well, no. They asked me to try to explain that. I tried to explain it to them about this way. First of all, that backsliding is an Old Testament term, and it applied to the nation as a whole. Never did apply to God's people. It doesn't apply to God's people today, especially. Well, do we sin in this flesh? Do we sin? Yes, God's people still, through the weakness of the flesh, commit sins. But that's not backsliding. You have to backslide in heart. Israel was a backslidden nation, and they were constantly in that state. As J.T. said, occasionally there'd be a good king come along, and you know he'd start destroying all the idols, and for a while things would get better. But sure as that king died, they'd start backsliding again. God's people, the ones that are born of the Holy Spirit, are holy, the saints. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but who did? The election. Why? Well, that it might be by grace and not of works.